Blog Talk Radio.
Radio for Monday, October 18th, 2010. And we're your hosts, Red Snapper and Miss Shay Nolan, coming to you live from Kansas City, as we'll be doing every Monday at 6 o'clock Central Time. We've got a fantastic show for you this evening. We have spoken word artist and author Mark Lacey on the show. This is a special show for you ladies, so sit back and relax as we bring you Word Sexy Radio. Radio this evening on this Monday, October 18th. I'm your host, Red Snapper, and we also have Ms. Shay Nolan, who is also the host of this show. Speak to him, Shay, and tell him how you feel today.
Hey, everybody. I am excited to be speaking with Mr. Lacey. I'm interested in hearing what he's got going on tonight.
Well, we'll be happy to see if he's going to show up. Waiting to see if he comes on, but while we're waiting, we're going to get a little bit of admin in right now. First of all, Shay, I know that you've been writing a new novel that you have coming up. Did you want to kind of speak a little bit on it? I know that you want to give up no information, but kind of tell us how that's going on.
It's turning out really well, Red. I'm actually 20 chapters in. I'm immersed in my characters,
wow.
You know, trying to develop them fully, give them their own personalities, you know, and of course trying to add some.
I know. I bet.
Trying to add some drama to them, so I like to bring the drama.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what it's about. And as far as my projects that I have, like I said, the book that I'm working on is definitely political with a sexual twist about Congress and the things that they do and things that people don't think they do, you know. So I haven't gotten as far as you in the process because I have other projects, but it's coming along. So we're just glad that we're able to go ahead and get that going. And,
right.
You know, that's what it's all about. So, yes, like I said, tonight's guest is supposed to be Mr. Mark Lacey, which we're waiting to see if he's going to chime in, and he's going to give us some of his sizzling poetry that he does.
Right.
And we'll just sit back and let you ladies savor it. But in the meantime, you know, because he's that kind of guy. But in the meantime, we're just going to try to see what we can do to keep you going until he calls in. And
yeah,
if he doesn't, then we'll
fillers.
Just entertain you. I'm sorry, what'd you say, Shay?
Provide some fillers.
Right. You know, if he doesn't come in, I'm sure we can do something to get it going. But like I said, this is We're Sexy Radio, and we do everything on here, and anything that can happen on this show. So what other projects are you doing? Since you got that one almost done, I'm sure knowing you, Shay, I know you always got something new that you've thought of or something that's coming up. And like I said, it's hard to get information from you without you telling it, because I know you don't want to tell it. But
You know me. I got a couple of projects, you know, waiting in the wings. I actually have. I really want to get started on my paranormal story. And, you know, and remember the one I was telling you about the Army vet. You know, I'm kind of wanting to delve into a little bit of, you know, thriller and horror, maybe horror, not so much like Stephen King, but, you know, throw a little suspense / horror in there, but that one with the camera, with the background of the camera, I really want to do that one.
Yeah. So what would keep you from actually doing it? I mean, after you finish this project you have now that's really steamy, I heard. After you finish this project, what would stop you from actually going into that?
Well, nothing really, unless I decide to go ahead and go through with Greedy 2.
Greedy 2. Okay.
Yeah.
So there's going to be a Greedy 2. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So, do you want to give us a little teaser on that one?
Greedy 2, if any of you have already read Greedy, picked up a copy and read it, you know the storyline centers around my character, Azaria Malik, her best friend, and the fact that on the night of their honeymoon, he invited another man into their bed. And that started a whole snowball effect of things. Skeletons started jumping all out of the closet in Greedy 1.
Skeletons seems to find their way out, don't they?
Oh, yeah, no matter how tightly you lock that closet, they'll pop out on you eventually.
Right.
You know, so in Greedy, it's all about, you know, love of that mighty dollar. And the things that she has to do to hold on to that money and her man, because the things she experienced in her childhood pushes her to do things that morally she doesn't really want to do. So long story short, in Greedy 2, it all ends up to where some of the characters that didn't get a full, you know, a full display in the story will actually come to the forefront. Her best friend, a secret person that, in Malik's life. I won't give any details to that.
Right.
You know, and it's shocking who this person is and everything else, and her her best friend and the guy that Malik got himself immersed in shady business with. So it all comes full circle in that. And then I will actually Greedy 3 called Legacy. Greedy 3 Legacy. So
that's all right.
Yeah, so it's like a familial curse. It's just going over the family, jumping generations, and it's just it will actually end with Legacy, because I think it's going to be sort of like a ghetto Romeo and Juliet. I may do something like that where it's up to the children to stop it. So, you know.
Right. Well, that sounds good. That sounds really good, and I know it's going to be good because I know your writing style and how you'll bring it out. So I know it's going to be great. And but what if you encountered something like this? What if you encountered or seen or heard that you had a congressman that was representing your state, and for some reason there's a woman that was found dead in his villa. And then you find out that there's an Asian congresswoman and a black congresswoman that's all involved. But then you find out one other step, that this person that they were all messing with was part of this call girl service that happens to be that this person was a transvestite. What do? They try to cover it up.
Wow.
So this is the story that I am working on, and it's coming out eventually. I'm not going to say the name, but that story will definitely come out, and it sounds like the makings of a movie as well, so we may get that. But the latest project that I've just finished that's in the editing process now and going forth is called Seductive Company, and that hopefully will be coming out in April. And that book is written with adult film star Sexy India as the main character. So that's going to be a series of books that she and I have collaborated to work on doing. So those will be coming out, hopefully starting, like I said, in April of next year and then going from that point. So I've been a little busy as well, and I have I have that paranormal, that part two to Curse of the Nocturnal Seductress that I want to actually get out as well. I mean, so there's a lot of work out there that needs to be done to bring to the fans. And, you know, we're trying to do that, and we want to do it, you know, so that, you know, in the good taste that they like, so...
Right.
But just in case everybody's wondering. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I know you're going to bring it, so that I have no doubt.
Well, we're going to definitely do that, and I know we're doing a collabo as well, so that's definitely going to come out. And, you know, we're going to work on some things. So fans out there that are listening to us, we do have some projects that we want to bring your way for your entertainment, and we definitely want to do that. And those that are listening, the number is 347-215-8539. This is Word Sexy Radio, and you're listening to Arthur's Red Snapper and Shay Nolan as we go back and forth and talk about our books and things that are going on. And our special guest, Mark Lacey, is supposed to be here. He may have gotten his stuff mixed up or something, but if he doesn't come in, it's no problem. We'll go forth. That's what we do on this show. That's why it's live, and that's what we did. So, what's new? I mean, I know you say you got those projects, but I'm sure you're not going to give us a snippet of something new. I mean, I know you got something. I mean, this book you got now.
I can give you a snippet of that. I just have to pull out my laptop and pull it up for you, and I can read something from it if you'd like.
Well, why not? I mean, you know, I mean, we don't have the poet of poets on right now, so we might as well go ahead and you know, give our guests something. So while we're waiting, while you're doing that, I'm going to kind of go over some things as well while you're doing that.
Okay.
Like I said, you know, this is that time of the year where people are starting to do a lot of things in the city, so we're trying to get that Word Sexy poetry event. And if we don't get it by the end of this year, we'll definitely have it out by next year. We're going to try to get that. People have been asking about that, so... We want to try to get that going, and just want to bring what the fans are asking for. So, you know, you can, if you got any request of anything that you want or any guests that you'd like to have on the show, just email me at urbanerotic@gmail.com, and we can definitely get those people, if they want to come on the show, we will try our best to get them there on the show. So, like I said, it's an open show. It's a relaxing show. We're a sexy radio for those who want to come on. And it's grown folks radio, so there's nothing here that's not said that can't be said. So, and we like guests to call in and have their questions. So, but Shay, how you doing there? You getting your laptop together?
I'm getting it together.
Need a little bit more time. Okay.
Yeah.
But I know this was like last minute. I probably should have told you that. But like I said, you know, we do this because we love doing it for you, not just so we can get out there and be like, have the big head like some people might do. But we,
right.
I like writing because it's I like going into that world, a creative world that I made. I can live vicariously through the characters that are there and just have a good time. And then when I have to come back to reality, I do. But
right.
You know, it's just that fun thing, you know, that we we do, and I love the fact that when people get into the characters and they really believe in the character, and
right.
we can write the story enough, good enough where people actually believe these people, because that's what I get with the Scandalous Motives series. A lot of people, they actually talk about these characters as if they were real people.
Right.
So how does that, have you been getting that reaction?
Oh, yeah, most definitely all the time. I get that all the time. Well, you know, so-and-so made me mad. So-and-so, I want to kill him. I want to kick his ass. You know, I have people
right,
telling
exactly.
me, you know, my characters, some of them were, she's stupid. I would have never done that, you know. So I get it all, and it really, really, that makes me happy.
Yeah, because you want it to be as real as possible. I mean, even though it's fiction, you don't want it to be something that's, even though it's a fictional world, you don't want it to be so far-fetched that it can't happen. You want your scenarios to be as close as possible as something, and they say, well, dang, that can happen. I mean, wow, you know.
Right.
You know, so that's it. But I do have this one thriller that I want to do. I've kind of started writing on, but off and on, and it's called, well, I have a name for it, but I'm not going to tell you the name. But the story is about this guy who was born, he's a single parent, his single mother was raising mm-hmm. him, and she was like a prostitute, and or a woman that was just out there on drugs and, you know, just kind of dogging her son. And he grows up in this, and she just dogs him and makes him do things. It's kind of like a male version of what is that movie that was our Precious, but not so much the same. But what happens is this guy grows up, and he actually gets away by going to college,
mm-hmm.
and he becomes this guy who ends up in Silicon Valley, you know, the area where they're actually doing, he gets into software production.
Right.
So what happens is he ends up finding out several years later his mom dies, and he finds out that this woman had millions of dollars, millions, millions of dollars that she had that he didn't know about. So
right.
and she actually leaves it to him. So now he's a multimillionaire. So
wow.
what happens is he gets to do things that he always wanted to do. He was a nerdish kind of guy and never was able to actually get women and stuff. So he now has money. So, of course, what comes with money comes everything else. Women are now attracted to him. So he ends up marrying a supermodel who she marries him, of course, only for his money. And he's in love with her and everything, and he tries to get with her. And she always comes up with these excuses not to have sex with him. And, you know, he was loving her so much that he was like, okay, well, one day I'll get it, you know. Then eventually he finds out that this woman is actually playing around on him, and she's had several other guys that she's been sleeping with.
Right.
So when he finds this out, he actually goes off and he accidentally kills her. But what happens when he kills her, something comes over him, and he gets this strange vibe that she's dead, she's laying here, she's still warm, and she's not moving, but I want to have sex with her. So now he has sex with his dead wife.
Wow.
The next thing happens after that, he is so strung out and onto this that he's like, I love this. So now he ends up taking this thing a step further by going out and just meeting different women, using his money to meet these women, getting them in situations where he'll kill them so that he can have sex with them right when after they die. He becomes this necrophiliac. He can't help himself. But, of course, I created this character called Julian Crowder, who is going to be the person who actually will solve this case.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not going to tell you how it's going to go, but I know that this guy is going to do some things, and it's nasty, and it's dirty, and it's sleazy, and it's grimy, and it's what we want to read.
That is going to be good. I cannot wait.
The Deprived Life of Andrew. I said I wasn't going to say the name. That is coming out late 2011, 12 sometime.
I cannot wait. Cannot wait.
So what do you think about that? What do you think about that? I know that's nasty, and a lot of people don't like to read that kind of stuff. Or some people do. I mean, it's just fiction. You know, to have that creativity to be able to do things. What do you think, Shay? What's your opinion?
I think it's a beautiful thing. Like I said, as fiction authors, there should not be any limitations on what we can and cannot write, what's real, what's not real. Because with fiction, the lines are blurred, and what you can't do in real life, you can definitely portray in fiction. Nothing's impossible in fiction. So I think that it's wonderful. It's entertainment. It would be entertainment if sometimes there weren't things that we as human beings think couldn't possibly happen, but it's proven every day that things that are impossible sometimes turn out to be very possible. So, you know, I think that's great.
Yes, and I'm trying to do some things differently. I'm trying to not just be stuck in erotica, but I want to kind of put twists and turns that has a little erotica in it as well. But I want it to be able to bring different things. And I'm this kind of author that I feel that you don't have to live everything that you write. You know, a lot of people think that, oh, you've done that? Who is that? Who is this? Are you that person? No, that's why you're a fiction writer, so that you can come up with things that people... You know, you got to make it believable to people when you write it, as if you did experience it. I have no desire to sleep with a dead person, okay? But that doesn't mean I can't write a story to make it believable so that you can think that this character is doing that. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to expand my horizons in writing and bring forth something, you know, so that the entertainment of it all would be what it is, entertainment.
Right, exactly. So that being said, now after I read a portion of my new book, are you going to let me hear some of what you've written in Acts of Congress?
Well, you know, I can do that. Since you said that, now I'm going to have to pull it up. Okay, while you're reading your piece, I will do that. So when you're ready, you go ahead and I'll bring up something from Acts of Congress.
Okay, so do you want me to read the sensual portions? I mean... Oh,
I want you to read. I want you to read what you think is what needs to be heard.
Okay. everybody,
that's
this is a little taste of my new book coming out in 2011, possibly the summer of 2011, maybe sooner. All right. You are a beautiful woman, Lucas said, lowering the straps of her sundress from her shoulders, displaying full gravity-defying breasts. Thank you, Romy whispered. She pressed her ass against him, wanting him to hurry up and remove the flimsy piece of fabric that separated the heat of her body from his own. As if reading her thoughts, Lucas reached around and cupped both soft mounds in his hands. He squeezed gently on her nipples before applying more and more pressure until she cried out. Pushed by need and desire for the woman he couldn't have, he was still being turned on by hunger and lust for the woman he could. Lucas bent down and removed the rest of the dress from her curvy body. He stepped back and began to undress himself. I can't wait to feel you tighten around me as I make you come over and over again, he said, still watching her. Her flat stomach, thick thighs, and ass that gave Kim Kardashian a run for her money could drive any man insane. Romy moaned out loud and bit into her lip as she watched him slowly undress. Damn, I think I'll go ahead and get in the water and wait for you, she said, and walked towards the awaiting bubbles. Wait,
go ahead.
Lucas said with authority. Romy still didn't look back at him. Let me get in first so you can climb on top of me. Okay, she said quietly. Romy glanced down at the length of him, and a waterfall erupted between her legs. He was large and thick, and she wondered how in the hell she managed to hungrily take it all in without splitting herself in two. Lucas climbed into the water and reached his hand out to her. Come here, baby. He grabbed her hips and positioned her above him. He lowered her body and slowly eased inside of her. He could feel her vaginal muscles straining and tightening against the invasion of his hardness. He captured her bottom lip between his teeth. Open up for daddy. Romy did as she was told and slid further down the length of him. Her head fell back and her mouth opened as a scream of pleasure and pain flew forth. Still, she continued letting him in until every inch of him was sheathed within her. He watched her eyes close as a myriad of expressions glittered across her face. It never ceased to amaze Lucas that a woman can make so many faces when in the throes of passion. They were ugly and devastatingly beautiful at the same time. A true picture of art. Look at me, he whispered, moving her hair away from her face. At first, she ignored him and continued to rock her hips to the beat of the music. Look at me, Romy, Lucas said with more force as he dug his fingers into her ass cheeks. When she finally opened her eyes to look at him, it wasn't Romy that Lucas saw.
It was the one woman he kept tucked away in the deepest part of his heart, his love, his perfection. Unable to drive her haunting image away, he clasped Romy's hips tighter and slammed every emotion he was feeling into her over and over again. As water splashed over the sides of the tub in direct correlation to the primal dance of their lovemaking, Lucas released his seed with another woman's name reverberating in his head.
You know something? Your scenes are getting more steamier. That's probably one of the best. I mean, you've done some, but this one right here is really, really, really erotic. What it was you, and it doesn't have to do anything with you, but what gave you the thought process to take it in that avenue?
I think, you know, at the point that I was writing this, I think I might have had me a glass of wine. I was listening to some soft music, and I was feeling particularly sensual at that moment, you know, listening to the slow jams. And I was like, you know, me, I know there's a lot of writers that like to write in complete silence. I love to have background noise, music, the TV going. I know that's weird, but, you know, that's how
I
write.
It's not weird. How is it weird? It's what you do. It's how you bring it out. So that's not weird.
I had an image in my mind of how I would want a certain scene of lovemaking to proceed if it was myself. You know, I did put myself in my character's place. And kind of envisioned the way that if I was standing before my character Lucas, how I would want him to, what he would say to me. So I, I just kind of ripped it and envisioned it.
Of course, the gushing part was my favorite part of that. So
you're talking about the waterfall?
Yes. That is a beautiful thing when a woman does that. All right, now what I'm going to read is not that sensuous. Okay, now. This is just to give you an idea because I don't want to get into the in this book, since you asked for this one and you didn't ask for Seductive Company, I'm going to read just how this kind of starts out with the congressman and things that are going on. But I'm not going to get into the sexual side of it because I want people to read that themselves because it's a taboo sex. You see what I'm saying? So I'm not going to do that. So we're going to start with the beginning, kind of like the prologue here, to, you know, just a piece of it. And I'm not as good a reader as you, so here we go.
Okay, yes, you are.
Okay. Across town in a Midtown Correctional Office building, the television was broadcasting the evening news as two distinguished gentlemen watched it vigilantly. Congressman Thomas Mallory has always been a major figure in politics since the late 1970s. But recent controversies are beginning to overshadow that legacy as we have just learned that the body of a young African-American woman was found dead in his Washington, D.C. villa early this morning. Although the congressman was not present when the body was discovered, we have not been able to get a statement from him or his camp as at this time. The broadcaster continued with the breaking news as the congressman's page quickly strolled into the office with a fresh pot of coffee. Set it down on the service counter, and then quickly strolled out of the office. He sat there at the table as his most trusted administrative assistant of 20 years, Jake Townsend, tried to calm him down and make sense of all this. "Look, Thomas, you know this doesn't look good. Why did you let that crazy bitch stay at your place while you were away? Could this be the work of some idiot that's trying dreadfully hard to get your congressional seat in the upcoming election? Hell, Thomas, this does not look good for us right now. Shit." The congressman stood up and immediately began to pace the floor as he continued to watch the story unfold on the television. He glanced at Jake as if he received a thought, which made him blurt out senseless jargon. "I don't know how to explain this one. I just..." Suddenly, Jake immediately interrupted him. "Look, we just got out of deep shit with those allegations of you taking large amounts of your campaign contributions and using them to travel to the Caribbean 2 years ago. Now this fucking problem, all of a sudden surfaces. We've got to think fast, Thomas." Okay. He turned toward Jake as he responded. "You're damn right we need to think fast. Isn't that what I pay you to do? Isn't that what I fucking pay you to do, think fast?" As soon as he said that, the office phone began to ring off the hook. Jake sighed as he responded. "Well, now the fun begins. Who the fuck is it?" The congressman glanced at the caller ID and immediately noticed that it was his wife of 35 years. He sighed heavily as he thought about how he would explain this dilemma to his wife and his daughter, who was presently vacationing in Europe. He knew it would be a matter of time before the news reached her there, and he wanted to protect them from the media, but it was too late, as he hinted to Jake that it was his wife, Abigail, on the phone. Abigail Wilson Mallory, daughter of an extremely influential business tycoon who made his money during Prohibition, wasn't new to this kind of rumor-mongering. For years, she knew that her husband's sexual appetite was extremely elevated for younger women, and this was no surprise to her. Thomas sighed as he slowly positioned the receiver to his ear. "Hello, Abigail, my dear. How are you?" Before he could begin his pathetic statement, she commenced to speak firmly into the phone. "Well, Thomas, I guess your cock has finally gotten you in a fix this time. I told you if any of your bullshit got out and tarnished my family or our daughter's reputations, that I'd leave you. What part of that statement didn't you understand?" As he quickly tried to explain to her, he was suddenly unsuccessful because all he could now hear was an intonation of the dial tone ringing in his ear. He looked over at Jake with a pitiful expression on his face as he spoke. "We need to fix this, and we need to get this done before I have to make a statement to the press." Jake sighed heavily as he replied, "Look, Tom, I told you that you were getting too close to that fucking whore when you started that relationship." The congressman sighed heavily as he sat down on the couch. Jake looked at him as he asked, "Now I need you to be honest with me. Tell me the truth." The congressman stared at him dumbfounded as he replied, "What the fuck are you talking about, Jake? What truth?" Jake sat down on the couch directly in front of him and unhurriedly lit a cigarette as he answered, "I need to know if you want my help in this." Thomas glared at him as he replied, "Do I want your help? Of course I want your help. You said you needed to know what. What are you asking, man?" Jake looked at him square in his eye as he said, "Did you fucking kill her, Tom? I need to know, did you kill Miss Carmel Love?" And that's the prologue.
Wow, that is great. Oh my God, that's good. I really like that.
What do you think? I mean, okay. I mean, and then it goes next. Chapter one is 6 months earlier, and it goes into the story. But that's just the prologue of what's happening. I like to write stories that starts out with the end and then comes back to the end. You know, like
right.
I did that with Scandalous Motives, where it started out with the lady was in bed with her husband, and you know she wasn't getting sexually satisfied, and then she thought about the night before, and then it goes back from her thoughts, taking you back to all that, how you got to that, and it actually ended with that scene again. So I like doing that kind of stuff. That's just my style. But what did you think, though? I mean, I thought your story was absolutely magnificent. And, of course, like I said, it's very steamy, and your steaminess is very, it's getting strong, if that's even a word. It's getting stronger in your writing. So acts of Congress. Does it sound Congress enough for you?
It does. I mean, there's politicians, so that's going to be juicy. That is going to be like, yeah, that's going to be hot. That's going to be hot.
And like I said, the scenes will be there. It'll be a little different, but it's supposed to be, because I don't want to be like everybody else. I'm trying not to be. You know, you got Zane, she has her style. You got all these other people, Eric Jerome Dickey and all these other authors who write the styles that they have. So I'm trying to bring mine in a different light, and that's what we're doing. And you're doing the same thing. I cannot wait until this book that you have that you're writing. And you said you're up to chapter 20?
Yes. Chapter 20.
And you don't know when where you're going to stop it at, right?
I'm thinking 10 more chapters maybe. It's at page 150-something, maybe two. I don't know. I haven't checked the page count yet, but I'm looking to maybe 300 pages, give or take
wow.
a few pages.
And that's really good. That's really good. And having a novel of that thickness is what people, I think, are looking for. I mean, unless you're one of those people that don't read a lot, a 200-page novel, yeah, that's good if you want to get a story in real fast, oof, you know. But those kind of stories, I think, help people to get to that point where they want to read the 400-page, 500-page books.
Right, and you can put more into a book that length.
Yeah, I mean, and when you do that, I mean, the story has to be good enough to drive a person to read it and not worry about the count. And that's what you do. And I think, you know, like I said, your style is just absolutely magnificent. I can't wait to do the story that we're going to do together. We definitely got to get that on the schedule, because I know that collaboration with that is going to be great, especially what I've heard tonight, what you read, that. That is, you know, definitely going to be good. So,
yeah, I try to put a little more heat in it, you know.
Well, you know, I'm trying to, I mean, it's really hot. I mean, and the way you did it is what a lot of people are used to anyway, because that type of writing, you know, you don't put all those silly words in it, but you still have the sensuality there that will drive them to be hot and be able to read and get the gist of what you're trying to say. I mean, you know, it's just that my style is a little bit more dirtier, but that's just the way it is with Red Snapper, you know.
Right.
And this, like I said, it's going to be, with this Act of Congress, it's definitely going to be something that is different. And it's not written in Kansas City this time. It's written in D.C., so there's going to be some landmarks of D.C. and different things.
Okay.
And, of course, there's going to be twists, of course, that, you know, the person that is the most confidant to this transvestite, you'll find out later. You know, everybody has someone that they trust that they tell things to.
Right.
And
right.
These Congress people think they're going to be getting over. And there's going to be some cases, and it's not going to just be sexual. The story that will, you know, politically, you know, political things with lobbyists and different stuff that's going on. It's going to all lead together, because the information that's being gathered is going to come to a head, of course, a peak, and then it's going to go downhill after. So. Who will be the one that murders her?
I'm so interested to find out.
Just because she was found in Congressman Mallory's house does not mean that she was killed by him.
Right. It's
so you
got to
get the book.
Moment.
That's right. You got to, you know, and I should use my sounder on that one, because that would have definitely worked. Who did it? Who done it? Who is it? You have to read to find out. That's the way it works out. So you're listening to Word Sexy Radio, and the number is 347-215-8539. And I'm speaking with my guest and my host, who is a host on the show now, Ms. Shay Nolan. And it's good that she's here, because if she wasn't, I probably would be talking to myself, since the incomparable Mark Lacey must have been busy tonight. He couldn't make it, I guess. But anyway, we're going forth, and we got about 22 minutes. So now that we've talked about our books and stuff, Shay, how can people get your books? We might as well go ahead and go into that and tell people how, if they wanted to get this new book you have coming out. And what's the name of it again?
The new book that I'm working on right now?
Right, yes.
The one I just read from?
Yeah.
It's called Envious.
Okay, so Envious will be coming out next year, or maybe before. And if they wanted to get other books from you, where would they get them?
For my book, Everything You Owe Me, that was released in December of 2009, and Greedy, which was released in June of this year, you can go to www.amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com. Anywhere books are sold, you can walk into one of those bookstores, and if my book is not on the shelf, you can request either one of those books, or you can email me at shaynolan@hotmail.com and request a signed copy of the book specifically designated to you, the reader, and to get those books, and just be on the lookout for Envious to drop in 2011, because it's going to be hot, y'all.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, you heard it. And, of course, if you want a Red Snapper book, if you want to go on the wild side and get one of those Red Snapper books, you can get them on www.amazon.com, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Borders, anywhere where books are sold, and you can go in as well and ask. I think some of my books are actually on the shelves in Texas. So there's an area somewhere in Texas. I don't know exactly where. I think it's Austin, they told me. Some of the books were there, or actually in Killeen in the military district there. So the book is getting out there. I have several books, and you can go and you can see them. Like I said, the new books that are coming out next year, They'll be out, and we'll make sure you get that. Also, if you have a Kindle or a Nook or any kind of device that you can download, the books are also available on e-book versions of them are available on BarnesandNoble.com through Pubit. It's a new system that they have out there now where authors can actually put their books on and sell them there as well. So if you need to get that version instead of having a hard copy, you know, some people still want that traditional hard copy, but then there's some that wanted to go electronic, they can read it, get it that way. So the books are available there as well. So also, if you want to kind of get a snippet of some of the stuff I've written, you can go to www.redsnappersplayhouse.com, and you can actually read some excerpts of different books or different things that I've written. And if you want to learn about more of the characters from a lot of the books, like Memoirs of a Creole Crime Cartel or any of the books, the characters, you can find them on www.redsnapperonline.com. And you can actually go in and look and get a picture of what the characters are, who they look like, and you can actually read a little bit of history on them so that you know what you're dealing with. So, and like I said, I'm the kind of person that write about twists and turns and stuff, so when you'll find anything going on, like in memoirs, you got a grandmother that's oversexed and she'll have sex with anybody, so it doesn't matter if it's, she's kin to you or whatever, she'll do it. You just have to read the book. that's what's out there. So, you know, like I said, I'm trying to write something different. I'm not trying to be like the normal what's out there. That's right, Shay?
Hmm?
What I was saying.
I'm sorry.
You didn't hear nothing? Okay.
I zoned out for a second. I was like, okay.
What happened?
I don't know.
Did I bore you?
No, something distracted me for a second, and I was like, I heard most of what you said, but the end portion is what I didn't hear. So you don't have to
listen
to all of it.
Well, I know. What I was saying was, you know, the characters are so crazy in my book, especially in memoirs, about I have an oversexed grandmother that is having sex with everybody. and it doesn't matter if she's kin to you or not. So, I mean, you know, Creole Crime Cartel, that's what it's about. So, but, I'd like people to get that and give us reviews. We like reviews from you, good or bad. Even if you say it sucks, we want to hear that, too. We want to know. You know, so we know what we can do to try to make it better. You know, Shay, have you been getting any more reviews on any of your books? I know you've been getting some good reviews.
Everything You Owe Me has gotten some really good reviews. I haven't gotten any recent ones, but the ones that I do have on there are really positive. And even, you know, the one on there that's not so positive, you know, I take that and I try to better myself as a writer. I don't let it deter me or bring me down, and I don't get upset about it. That's just, you know, stepping stones along the way, and I can't, you know, I'm at the motto, you can't please everybody.
Yeah, you're right, and you're not going to please everybody. So that's just how it works, you know. Some people, you know, they want to keep getting all these positive, oh, it's great, and then, you know, when is it going to be bad? I mean, sometimes it is. You don't want it to be, but sometimes it is, so... you try to make it as best as possible. Try to get people to read it so that they can tell you it's jacked up before you put it out there.
Right.
you know, you try to do that. So.
I see it as a challenge. It's a challenge to me. When I get a bad review or a couple of bad reviews amongst the really good ones, it's a challenge for me. It just speaks the fire within me to, like I said, keep getting better. So I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, bad reviews, we don't want them, but that's just the way it is. Sometimes, unless you just try to be funny, you know, you just don't, you know, some people try to be funny and act like, oh, it's messed up, and then, you know, if it's from an author, you know, sometimes you're like, oh, are they just doing it because they think it's bad or they're jealous?
Right.
What is it?
I'm sure some of them will never tell.
That's right. So, but we got about 15 minutes left, and we're going to, you know, take it on to where it's been, like I said, it's been fun. I'm glad you are now a host on this show, and, you know, we can always talk to each other if nothing else. You know, most of the guests do usually come on. I think he must have had something or whatever. But anyway, we'll try to get Mark again or, you know, or whatever. Maybe he just, sometimes people forget that they have an interview if they're so busy, I guess. Or it depends on what it is that they are doing. Maybe they had something more important. And no hard feelings, nothing like that. I'm not trying to dog them out. I'm just saying, you know, I mean, sometimes you just forget, I guess, or you're just so busy and you got so many women wanting you or something. I don't know. Anyway, you know, you just do what you do. You know what I'm saying? And that's just how it goes. Maybe he's just oversexed. Could that be it? Or could it be that Little Old Red Snapper show is just not, you know. But anyway, it's all good. I'll get back with him and find out. Maybe we can get him back on at a later date. And, you know, sometimes that happens. I had that happen before on the show where somebody said they overslept and they called me after the show was over. Oh, I'm sorry, I missed it. I was like, okay.
Yeah.
No problem. If, you know, it happens. You overslept. You were drunk.
Yeah, it can happen. But what I do is I always put it in my calendar. Anytime that we have a show or there's something, I know that my brain is so full of stuff that I need to do, and plus with my kids and everything, I have to prioritize, and I have to make it a priority to put things on a schedule and on a calendar so it'll pop up and say, hey, you got to do this. So, you know, I'm kind of anal about that kind of stuff. So.
Yeah, because, you know, especially with all this technology, how can you forget? Anyway, unless you just want to, you know what I'm saying? I just don't understand. I mean, I know I forget stuff sometimes. I'm not perfect. I'm a human.
Right.
But, you know, I don't know. I'm just going to leave it alone because I don't want to be heard as dogging somebody on the air and then they call back and say, why you do that to me? You know, I don't want to get all that. So it's not even about that. But Word Sexy Radio will continue to go forth and prevail as it always has. And, you know, we're going to do that. Next week we're going to have special guest Cotton Candy on the show from California. She's going to come on, and she's been on here before. She has some erotic poetry. A good friend of mine from, she's originally from Kansas City, but she moved out to California. She's been living out there for several years now, so she's going to come on. And we'll just go forth, and you know, this will be one of those shows in the archives, you know what I'm saying? So we got about 12 minutes, and Shay, you got any shout-outs or anything else that you got coming up, or any book signings or anything you want to tell people about?
I don't have any book signings set up as of right now. I'm really just focusing on getting Envious done, getting it out there, get back into full force promoting Greedy and Everything You Owe Me. I do have some appearances that I'm trying to make at some of the local libraries here in Kansas City, Mid-Continent Public Library. So,
tell us more about that. When you get that, just let us know, and we can definitely, like I said, we'll get you. You're going to be on the show anyway. You'll tell us about it. But the thing is let us know so we can support you and be there. It's hard to get in Mid-Continent. They asked for my books. I gave them. They gave them back. They threw them at me.
Oh, man, they put me through the ringer. I'm telling you, they put me through hell.
Because, yeah, I mean, they did. I mean, it was like, okay, you asked for my books, and then you knew what they were, and then now you can't, you know, handle it. They kept telling me excuses like, and I'm not trying to dog them, I'm just being real. They were saying stuff like the word urban erotica was on the cover, so we can't go with that. What if a kid gets it? And I mean, don't they have people that monitors what they check out? I mean, I don't know.
Sure,
but anyway.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead and tell us more about what your experience is going to be. When is that? You think that's going to happen?
I'm trying to get it figured out with the lady at the headquarters to figure out when I'm going to show up, because actually what she wants me to do is to go to several of the Mid-Continent public libraries and maybe speak to adults and children alike as far as my writing experience, not necessarily allowing children, you know, children to read the type of stories that I write because it is adult content, but just kind of giving my experiences as a writer, letting them know that if that's something they want to do, you know, go for it full force ahead about capturing their dreams, how I happen to be in a writer. So, and then do a couple of book signings, too, since they do have my book in a couple of their libraries. So.
Well, that's great. That's great because, you know, and like I said, let us know so we can support you, and we'll tell everybody and, you know, let us know what's going on. That's the kind of things we want to know. And other authors out there in the Kansas City area, especially Miss Law, what's Rochelle Law, you definitely need to contact us so we can get you squared away. We want you
ma'am.
As well. And there's a lot of other authors that's local here. We want to get you guys out. I mean, authors, let's get together and let's make a form a coalition here. We want to come up with a Kansas City book fest that we want to do and have authors all over the country come in and be with us.
Right.
You know, we talked about that. I think that'd be great. We need to stop, you know, not helping each other get our stuff out there. And like I said, Rochelle Law, I haven't read your book, but I know it's good. Come on now. I mean, let's work together. Let's all get it together. And my man, Raymond Floria, I know he's got his stuff going on. So, you know, we all want to work together. Huh?
He grinds, too. And he said something about, you know, we all need to be like the A-team, you know, get together and, you know, if we can't get to events, make events of our own here in Kansas
exactly.
City, bring the spotlight to Kansas City to us as
exactly.
Kansas City authors, you know.
Exactly.
So.
He calls me Robin and calls me Batman. So it's like, hey, Batman, he calls me and says, Batman, I got this going on, and this is Robin. You know, he always texts me and we go back. I said, okay, all right, Boy Wonder, you know, whatever. And that's why I like to use this Batman motif and stuff because, you know, it's really good because it's about, you know, trying to get it done. So that's why when you hear this. It's about getting the job done in the literary game. That's what we try to do here. And we want everybody to be involved, Batwoman, Catwoman, whatever, Batgirl, whatever, you know, whatever you want to call each other, no problem. It's just we want to get our books out so everybody can enjoy the work that we're trying to present because, you know, and tell us when it's messed up, we can fix it or whatever. We just want to be heard.
Right.
We just want to be heard. And, you know, we don't have to be the big New York Times bestseller, although we all dream to be that. And hopefully we will get there. But the thing is we want to be – I want to be real about it. I don't want to just be, oh, I got this book. It's a New York Times bestseller, and I'm, you know, can't be touched, and you can't talk to me.
Exactly. And you and I have to talk about – I remember we talked about possibly maybe putting some question and answers possibly later in the future into the show.
Right.
You know, I used to do a blog.
Yeah, we can definitely do that. And see, the thing is this show has a blog, and I need to get somebody to do that to start a session. And while we're doing this, questions, if people call in, and they can blog. If they don't want to say anything, they can blog their questions to us.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, I just think that we can go a long way here. And Kansas City doesn't have to be not on the map. It's time for us to be here. I mean, just because we're not in St. Louis, all these other places, does not mean that we can't be out here in the literary world just as well as anybody else. So,
right.
Why don't y'all join us? Help us out. Not only read our books, but if you're an author, aspiring to be an author, we'd like to talk to you as well and see where you're going with your work. And, you know, but just don't, I mean, I'm not saying that you can't write about yourself, that you don't have a story, but have more than just your own. I mean, that's what fiction writing is about. A lot of people, I want people to hear about me, but what did you do that they should be reading about you? You know what I'm saying? I mean, what is so important about you? Well, I grew up in a bad neighborhood and my mama did me like this. Okay, how many stories is out there like that? You got to put something in it that's going to make it different.
Right.
And I'm saying that your story is not real. I mean, you know, but how many drug dealer stories are we going to have? How many sexual whatever? I mean, I'm not saying that, you know, how many stories? You got to have something that's different, right, Shay? It's just got to be different.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly. You can't keep bringing the same thing to the table over and over and over again because if you read it once, you've read that story 1,000 times. And with fiction, you can always flip the script, change it up, and do it a different way.
Have it, you know, I mean, just, it can be done. I mean, and you can put your story in, but, and there's a lot of people who has stuff that happened to them that should be told. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that, you know, everybody, they always say they want to write about themselves, and then when they do, you ask them, have you started yet? Well, I don't know how to start. I ain't got time. Then you don't want to write. Basically,
exactly.
I mean, if you don't have time to write, how do you expect to get a book written?
Right. You have to make the time to write. Literally, you have to allot time to write. You got to say, hey, okay, if you have children or you have a spouse, hey, babies or whatever, I need to write. Mom needs to write. Dad needs to write. I need an hour or two in, you know, every day or every other day to write and make sure that you stick to that schedule. And, of course, things come up, life happens, and you have to go a day or two without writing, but that's just life. But you always need to make sure that you at least put a sentence down. I don't care if it's a period on the page. It's
right,
something.
Or, Or even if you just changed something around or rewrote something in something you already written, you've done something. You know, it doesn't have to be that you have to write all the time, every day, all 24 hours a day. Oh, I'm just writing. Oh, it doesn't even work that way. So anybody who thinks that, you know, it's not, that's not true. So the best thing they need to do is just go ahead on and do it and stop playing around and just get serious about it, you know, if that's what they want to do. But we got about 4 minutes, and this is Word Sexy Radio, and it's been a good show, even though our guest didn't make it. We still had a great show talking about the game. And if you're serious about being a writer, you know, give us a shout. But, you know, I ask that you don't do it while we're at the book signing. Just, you know, at that time we're grinding. But, you know, you got our email addresses. You can email me at urbanerotic@gmail.com. And Shay, your email address is?
It's ShayNolan@hotmail.com. If you have any questions, want to know about the writing game, I'm open for questions.
And even if you have questions about relationships and stuff you read in the book, like say some things that went down and you want to figure out why that happened or what's going on with that, you can definitely write us and ask us, and we'll tell you how we came up with that, okay? So, you know, that's what it's about, you know, trying to find out what's going on, so... And like I said, you know, this is Word Sexy Radio. We got about 3 minutes, and we're going to let this song by Sweetback, which is Sade's band, Gaze, take us on out. So enjoy yourself.
Good night, everybody.